I'm going to preach today. Am I on? I'm going to preach today on the disloyal, lying tongue. Gossip, slander, etc. So since you're standing, I'll give an introduction once we read our text for today. First three verses of Isaiah 59. Let us begin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Holy Father, we do ask that you'll bless the preaching of thy word today, God. This might be your last wake-up call that you're giving, Father, to people today. Lord, we do pray that somebody will hear, God, because we know if they hear not your word, they're going to have to hear the rod, Lord. And we don't want that, Father. We don't want to see that. We don't want you to make them an example, a testimony, that they need to shut their mouths and watch their mouths. Father, help us. We've all learned this, Lord, sometimes the hard way. I pray, God, that somebody learns it today the easy way. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in town. Had a wonderful time in Indiana. Dear people there, what a blessing. Brother Matt, you did a great job last week. Thank you so much for filling in and preaching a great sermon. As you see here in Isaiah, the problem often with answered prayer is not that the Lord can't save. It's not that the Lord can't hear. But somebody's been running their mouth. And running your mouth will cause your prayers to not be heard by God. If you lie, liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. You better watch what you say. You better watch who you accuse. And you better make sure you give due process. Perverseness, that's stubbornness. Just rebellion. Psalms 5 says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God. For unto thee will I pray. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemy." If you are living right, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. The Lord said it's going to happen. Sometimes that persecution takes the form of big mouth gossips and slanderers around you. This is a message that is so on time for these last days. But churches all down through the ages, you have to regularly teach on this. And it's not taught enough. "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre, a grave. They flatter with their tongue." You can't trust them. "Hi, how you doing?" And then behind the back on Facebook, wherever they're at, they're just blabbing their tongue. "Destroy thou them, O God." Now this can get bad enough where you have to get imprecatory. Alexander the coppersmith, Paul had to say, "Reward him according to his work." Now there were people that led him down, that didn't stand with him, that Paul said, "I pray they'll have mercy in that day." This can get so bad that you're hurting so many people that the prayer has to take another form. See, "Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee." See, they think they're rebelling against the pastor. They thought they were rebelling against Samuel because of his children. They thought they were rebelling against Moses because of his wife. They thought they were rebelling against Moses because of the power. You know, he takes too much authority upon him. But then the earth opened her mouth. You open your big mouth, the earth will open her mouth, and they fell within. It says, "They rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. So you need to get in line, buddy. You don't understand. You're in a long line of detractors, liars, slanderers, false accusers. See, you got to understand what crowd you're with. You said, I don't see them anywhere. That's the point. That's the point. There's still a few out there, but they get scattered really, really quick, because God will defend in due time His people. He will defend His pastors. He will defend His righteous Christians. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. How beautiful. How important it is to be faithful and true in regard to our words. So what the Bible does? The Bible is going to describe what you say by the instruments that you speak with. Your tongue, your throat, your lips, your mouth. What we're missing today is loyalty. The Bible calls it faithfulness. It is unbelievable how disloyal people are. Disloyal to their fathers. Disloyal to their pastors. Disloyal to their righteous Christian brothers and sisters. There is an expectation of loyalty, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself for this lack of loyalty that you have. You ought to take up for your papa if somebody's running their mouth about him in a lying way. You ought to take up for your pastor. I'm not telling you to go as far as they used to in old days. In olden days, I will show you the proof. They would take you out in the parking lot. Not so much in this church, but they would take you out in the parking lot and show you a thing or two. It was just a different time. You didn't speak against your country in a wicked way. You didn't speak against your pastor. You didn't talk about somebody's mama. That was fighting words when I grew up. You speak about somebody's parents. I tell you what, even the teacher, the coach, you'd get your mouth slapped. We're in a different age today. Loyalty is not taught. I know you can go too far with a blind loyalty, but we need to get back to some basic loyalty and expectation that you ought to be ashamed of yourself to not be loyal to your church, loyal to your pastor, loyal to these brothers and sisters. They say, that church over there. What do you mean, that church over there? That church over there is Brother Mike, Brother Jeremy, all these other brothers over here. You're being disloyal to them when you run your mouth with a bunch of slanderers who simply want to sin. They got their feelings hurt. They got conviction upon them because they don't want to keep God's word, and you're going to join with them and run your mouth. Shame on you. But let me tell you something. We've got earthquakes today. We've got a one world government forming. We've got Israel back in the land in rebellion and unbelief. We've got a temple mount there that they are gathering together and getting closer to putting that temple up. We have technology now that is stage setting for the mark of the beast. We have vaccine mandates and injections and things. You better wake up. But I'm going to tell you, one of the signs, along with all of that, is you just might be a sign that shows us the Lord is coming really, really quick. Because one sign of the last days is that you can't trust certain people in your church or in your family, and you're just not going to be able to trust them. They will speak to you in kindness, and then they will go behind your back and join with your very enemies and try to attack you and destroy you. You are a prophecy. If this is you, you are a prophecy. I'll put it this way. You are a sign of Bible prophecy being fulfilled for our day and age. That make any sense? Look at Micah chapter 7. The good man is perished out of the earth. That's sad. What a day to be living in. Trust you not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. This conspiracy of disloyalty can get so bad, there are some people that have to be careful what they say around their wives or around their husband. Isn't that a sad situation? You ought to have intimacy and closeness. You ought not have to say, I hope my wife doesn't turn me into the government. You know, I think she's a spy. You know, I'm talking about a government that's in rebellion to God. I'm talking about a government that's passing laws that can cause you to have to suffer persecution. Well, there's going to come such a time where it's hard to trust anybody. I think we're getting pretty close. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. See, the whole point is you would expect loyalty in some of these situations. Not blind loyalty. The Lord goes on to say, you better not love these folks more than you love me. You better not put them before me. But I tell you what, the fact is we're missing some loyalty. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Our Lord, speaking of this passage, warning about the last days, tells us a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You have to be careful today, says the Holy Ghost. In the end times when men are treacherous, traitors, betrayers, you have to be careful. They're slanderers, liars, deceitful spies. They can't wait to gather something so they can go with their slandering buddies, effeminate worms of people, so they can participate in tale-bearing and tale-hearing. You say, this is a pretty hard sermon today, preacher. Oh, not near as hard as it used to be preached back in the older times. I tell you, you run your mouth, them older preachers would come after you. You understand that? Because you're tearing things up. Even Paul, when he was in prison, had to write a whole church, the Philippians, and right in the middle of his letter, he had to stop and say, you tell those two women to get along, Syntyche and Eunice, okay? Because they're going at it. They're going at it in that church. They need to be of the same mind. They need to walk in the humility of the Lord. Understand, we're all here. We're trying to be edified. We're trying to grow and edify one another. We're trying to get ready for the second coming of Christ. And all you want to do is walk around and tear down the good that we're trying to do? Some people have given their lives to try to give you something. And you want to tear it down. God forbid. God forbid. There's not only tale-bearing, there's tale-hearing. Some people just can't wait to hear something. Try to ruin your life, destroy you, get you in trouble with the law, get you in trouble with courts and authorities. You are Satan's tool. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. That means they betray you. You can't trust them. Like, oh, Jeremiah, I'm with you. Speak the word of God. And next thing you know, they're backstabbing you. Wow. Well, you better hope I'm not anointed in any way. You better hope I'm not full of the Holy Ghost. You better hope that the things, if you're a gossiper and a slanderer and a false accuser, you better hope it's not the Spirit of God that's upon me that's making you mad and grieving you. You better hope it's not conviction in your soul, because the Bible says, touch not His anointed. I'm not using that as some blanket so I can just do anything I want. I'm telling you, you better watch who you accuse. You better watch in the Old Testament what you say about Elijah. You better watch what you say about a man of God. And not just a pastor. You better watch what you say about any righteous brother or sister in this church. You better be slow to speak. And you better be careful in giving the due process that you would want somebody to give to you. Sometimes you just feel like going around and making up lies about people. You can't do it. Because we have to do right. But some of these people, you ought to see how bent out of shape they would get if you said, oh yeah, so-and-so did so-and-so. And they come back and say, what are you saying this about me? I never did such and such. Well, I don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. See, you want people to give you due process. Why don't you shut your mouth and give it to other people? Amen? Jeremiah is getting frustrated. He says, I just want to quit. He says, I didn't want this job to begin with. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Why don't you start getting excited? If you need something for your energy, why don't you get excited about defending the truth, defending a righteous church, defending a righteous pastor, defending our cause, defending what we're trying to do? Why don't you get valiant for the truth upon this earth and quit just spending all your energy like a punk? Spending all your energy like an effeminate person running your slanderous mouth. They proceed from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, everyone his neighbor. Trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. and every neighbor will walk with slanders. The Bible says you're going to live in such a time when you can't trust your neighbors. They'll lie about you. They'll join with your enemies and just join in some wicked cause. Your very neighbors. Your very brothers. That's amazing. They will deceive everyone as neighbor. They will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. See, this is a problem. Some of you have been liars from the time you're a child, and you've learned to lie. It's become your habit. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not? I mean, how many of you grew? I grew up down south, and it's probably the same everywhere. I tell you, you grow up, you ever had the bathroom things and behind the school things where they say, hey, you've been talking about me? You've been running your mouth? Most fights in school, and there were a lot of them, were even girls, with girls, but usually it was some fella saying, hey, you've been running your mouth about me all around town? You've been running your mouth? And then they'd get in a fight, and somebody learned really, really quick to shut his mouth. See, the problem with homeschool Christian kids, and I don't want you to go out and get your mouth slapped, but see, that world would teach you real quick to shut your mouth. And see, you're going to learn it the hard way, see. So what I'm hoping today is we can help you learn to watch your mouth so you don't have to learn the hard way that some people are not going to be very nice about it, see. Josiah has a fake tongue. It looks so real. And I was going to have him come up here and stick that tongue out, and I was going to get a pair of pliers and pull it, and he was going to fight, and I was going to pull it. I was finally going to rip it out, but I said, you know what? I can't do that. Children or something, everybody might start screaming, and I'll create chaos, and I'll have to spend the rest of my sermon saying, I'm sorry. I'm sure that was too graphic. So anyway, but God did say he's going to cut out the tongue. He's going to pull it out of your mouth. Aren't y'all glad I was nice? Let's see. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? You know, we've been looking at faith in the Bible. How the Lord wants you to press on in prayer. To continue, not faint, not to give up. To trust to whatever degree you can, where there's a basis for it, that the Lord will answer us and that He is certainly able. Remember, we're not going to repeat this over, but sometimes you can have absolute certainty that it's God's will. But at other times, you can only have a confident trust that's dependent upon the Lord's ultimate will. And I've been bringing into your remembrance the book of Philippians where Paul's in prison and he says, I trust that I'm going to get out. I know I'm going to get out. And his basis was, I got good people praying for me. And number two, it's more needful for you. And I believe this is God's will for me to get out. So he had strong faith in what he could see. But then he said, you know, I have to see what God's going to do. It might not be God's plan for me to get out. That's that balance I'm trying to tell you about, where you can have strong faith. Don't give up just because you get some silence. Don't give up just because you get some opposition and hindrance from Satan. So there's a general principle that we know. Matthew 9, according to your faith, be it unto you. Sometimes you don't get what you are praying for because, number one, you're not praying. And number two, you're not praying in faith. You're not praying in the believing in the goodness of God and His power and looking in the Bible for His will. You're not discerning these things and praying strong, giving God glory by strong faith. But sometimes we know in the ultimate will of God, like Paul's thorn in the flesh, no matter how much you press on, God says, we're going to do this another way. And maybe a Joseph way or a Job way. And you have to submit and surrender in those situations. Not my will, but thine be done. Let me show you something. What we're saying is, if you want answers to your prayer, you got to pray. You have not because you ask not. Second condition is, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. You have to have trust in God's goodness and His ability and His will. But let me give you another condition. And this is so important for our sermon today. Let's go back to Mark 11 with that beautiful promise in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So notice the conditions there. Faith. But hold on a second. Sometimes we stop there, draw a line, and then run on down the road. Let's read the next verse. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That is an implied condition for verse 24. What he's saying is, God's going to look down at you and see how you're living. And of all the things he's looking for, one of them that he's definitely looking at is forgiveness. Because that's the whole principle of the gospel, isn't it? The Lord Jesus came, God forgave you, punished Jesus in your place. We know from other verses that the main idea here is this. Somebody who did you wrong, and it was a real wrong that God recognizes, and then they come and repent and ask you for forgiveness. And you say, no, I forgave you last time, I'm not going to forgive you this time. And you have hatred in your heart, bitterness in your heart, a lack of forgiveness in your heart. God is saying your prayers are going to be hindered, see. Your prayers are going to be hindered. And with that unforgiveness, there are other sins that follow. Because out of the heart, the mouth begins to speak. So there's slander, tale-bearing. Yeah, I bet, you know, this person's doing this and that. Well, didn't they say they're sorry? Yeah, but I don't believe them, you know. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean trust. See, you will not necessarily trust them until they start earning it. But there ought to be a degree of trust based upon the fruit and an honest way of watching them. But you should not be holding bitterness against them and that type of thing. Because I'm going to tell you, if you walk in that bitterness and the grudging and the slander and the gossip and the tale-bearing, God will not answer your prayer. Though you desire it, though you have faith. And I'm going to tell you this, it's going to really be hard to have faith because this conviction of your heart's going to be there. And it's going to cause trouble as you try to have confidence that God's going to answer your prayer, see. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to repent and get right with Him. Confess your sins. He's just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. Now listen, if dealing sinfully with somebody who has truly done you wrong can cost you your prayers, how much more can hating someone who has only done you good? Have you ever thought about that? This is somebody that really did this person wrong and even probably apologized. But they're still having unforgiveness when you compare Scripture with Scripture. I'm not limiting to that. I'm just telling you. How much more if you are hating somebody who has only done you good, but you're too spoiled and selfish to realize all they've done is do you good. See? Remember a spoiled toddler, a spoiled child of 25. Just imagine how they act today. Imagine how you do them good. As a parent, you bless them, you help them, you've got great plans for them. But they say, I hate you, you're evil. They slam the door. Bro, that's all it is many times in a church. See, they look at the pastor because he's bringing forth the Word of God and he's bringing forth the commands. That's the authority to hate. And whoever joins with him in a righteous stand in regard to, we've got principles, we've got things you need to do, there's an accountability here, there's responsibility. It's the same thing. You're going to slam the door and say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate that pastor. Well, what did... I hate that whole church. Well, what did they ever do to you, fella? What did they do to you, Goldilocks? See, we are in an age that's too quick to play the victim. Too quick to think you've been wronged. And mommies always defending you caused you to grow up warped. You know, every little fight, every little skirmish, every time you get in trouble with the teacher, mommy's going to come and show how everybody's mistreated you. I've seen some pretty psycho Sunday school teachers, okay? I'll just say I have. But I try to do my best to try to, try to go back, and I'm going to try not to take your side too much here, you know? And, just be careful how much you rescue your children and teach them to play the victim their whole life, see? The whole culture has become selfish like this. You better make sure the best you can that God agrees with your anger against somebody. There is a righteous anger. But the Bible says, if you do have a righteous anger that God agrees with, be ye angry in what? Sin not. But often people hate others because you've been convicted. You didn't get your way. The preaching's going against your flesh. The requirement. You hate those that reprove you. And you don't love reproof. So you'll be a fool. Listen to me. You'll be a fool for the rest of your life. Matthew Henry. Where am I at here? What happened to my verse? I missed it. Matthew Henry says, you must expect that wicked men will hate you because your doctrine and life convict and condemn them. They will reproach you. They'll charge you with the blackest of crimes which you're perfectly innocent of. That was centuries ago. Some things have not changed. They only got worse. You understand that? So it's important for you to understand that slander, backbiting, tattling, talebearing, gossip, false accusations, all these things will bring judgment on you. And one manifestation of this judgment, before the whole thing rains on your head, is not having your prayers answered. It says in 1 John, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. See, Paul says that he knows nothing by himself. He doesn't know anything he's doing wrong, but he's not by that justified. The Bible says, he that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So there's a balance here of knowledge. As far as you know, your conscience is not condemning you, unless you've seared it or something, unless it's very unenlightened and you need to get in the book and get some light. But you're to come to God in prayer, and as far as you know, there's nothing you need to repent of right now. You've spent a lot of time getting that straight with God and apologizing. Then you have confidence toward God. Now you can come saying, God, I might be missing something. I probably am, but I really think that I've got all this stuff straight with you. And if all of a sudden something comes up and says, oh yeah, what about that? What about that? What about that? Don't you suppress that thing. You say, but I don't want to give that up. I don't want to, no, you better get that thing straight because the Holy Spirit's bringing that to your remembrance. And then don't just walk away and say, well, I might as well not pray now. No, go back and repent of your sins. Get this thing straight. Get confidence at least toward God that you're walking in that which is pleasing in His sight. And then whatsoever you ask, you receive of Him because you keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There's times when He says, no, no, your offering to the poor, or your alms, or whatever it is, don't do that. Some people are like, well, I don't do it anyway. No, that's not what He means. He says, leave your gift at the altar. You might go spend it, see. Go leave it at the altar. Go get reconciled with thy brother. Then come and offer your gift. What I'm just trying to show you is God wants you to get some things clear so you can enter into worship, so you can enter into fellowship with Him and get Him as a Father to bless you in what you need blessing in. So, if we're to do those things that are pleasing in His sight, how often does He talk about fools and scorners and slanderers and liars and talebearers? And false accusers, those things are not pleasing in His sight, brother, sister. You better be careful with your mouth. That's what the Lord's talking about. Forgiveness. Be careful with your mouth. Your prayers will be hindered. Before we really take a look and go a little quicker with some scriptures I want you to just read, just know in these last days, you're going to have a lot of people around you that you're not going to be able to trust. Their numbers are growing like crazy in these last days. And the tools of their manipulation are growing. Instagram, Facebook, text messages, their ability to communicate and breathe out their vomit, to belch it out, that's growing. That's growing. The strangest thing I've ever seen in all my life. Somebody in one state can go find somebody that you used to know way back 30 or 40 years ago in another state, and all of a sudden they're Facebook friends and they're calling one another and they're talking about you. What a world! There's never been a time like that. Not only just another state, another country. Somehow another, Facebook connects the bitter people together. And they all gather together with their vomit. Wow. Yeah. Robert A. Morey, a Bible handbook on slander and gossip. I don't quote many new things, but notice this. It's pretty good here. While internet porn is a great problem today, there is another form of internet porn. Internet slander and gossip sites and bloggers. Some professing Christians engage in making up every lie imaginable. They are without conscience. They have demonic energy. It is now a worldwide phenomena that afflicts all public figures, whether they're pastors or whatever, politicians. The devil was a slanderer from the beginning. See, you walk around and say, I'm going to do something nobody's ever thought of. I'm going to rebel against the pastor and some righteous Christians in that church. I'm going to show that, you know, I'll do what I want. I'm a scorner. If I want to be a punk and look like a girl and do whatever and get into sin, I got my right. And I'm going to go join with anybody else that's done the same thing and see if I can find them. This is a new thing I'm doing. No, it's going on all around the world, man. And it's been going on ever since the serpent, because he was the original slanderer. The devil was the slanderer from the beginning. Internet slander and gossip are forms of pornography in that they pollute and defile the minds of internet peeping toms who love to read the latest gossip against pastors and churches. It makes them feel better. You know what I found out? A lot of these people are lesbians. A lot of these people are homosexuals. A lot of them are adulterers. A lot of these peeping toms have some serious sins in their lives that they're tolerating. They never go in private to the pastors they slander in public. They do not give the pastors the benefit of the doubt. Well, are you sure there's not another alternative and another answer? The Bible says that it's only two or three witnesses. You're not even to receive an accusation. Let's say I had an assistant pastor and somebody came up and says, well, blah, 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 blah. You are to be careful and you are to have two or three witnesses that he is allowed to cross-examine. Okay, there's two witnesses that you are out doing this or doing that. Well, bring the two witnesses before me. We have a little church court here. The two witnesses say, yeah, I saw you. Well, how could you have saw me when I was over at so-and-so's house? So, you see what I mean? He gets to cross-examine these witnesses so we can see if the matter stands or not. But you say, well, that's too high of a standard. That's too high of a standard. Well, it's because of the likelihood that if you are a pastor, you're going to be accused by every wicked person that got convicted of your message. See? So there has to be a protection, or nobody could be a pastor. Nobody could do anything in America today. And it's really the standard of truth in the Bible for anybody. It doesn't mean that you're not guilty. But it means if we're going to convict you with man's law, there has to be evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that you're guilty, see. They don't go to the pastors. They don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Gossip mongers lay the burden of proof upon the accused, not on themselves. You have to deal every single day with an accusation from another slanderer, another gossip monger, and you have to spend your life trying to show that you're not guilty of whatever the newest thing is. You can't live like that. You can't live like that. How about you prove what you're trying to say? As soon as one of their lies is refuted, they invent a new one. Their accusations are so vague that they are incapable of proof or disproof. This is why pastoral abuse is a favorite accusation of slanderers. See, something subjective like that. See, I'm not saying there's not abusive pastors, abusive husbands, abusive mothers, abusive fathers, abusive youth pastors. But they like it in the realm of subjective. Korah used this satanic device against Moses. He said, you know, we're all equal and you take too much upon yourself and God's spoken to everybody and, you know, he launched a rebellion. They depend on malicious slander from embittered ex-members who were put under church discipline for sin or left in sympathy with those who were put under discipline. Isn't it amazing how rebellious people can hook up with other rebels that have either been excommunicated from the church or they left because of their sin? Bloggers and slanderers think about the pastor they are attacking every moment of the day. They are psychologically obsessed. Hey, did you hear the new thing? Did you hear what he said yesterday? Do you know what? Just go ahead and put my picture all over your car and hang it up in your room, you know. And not just me, but this is going on in churches all around America, man. You're obsessed. When their malicious accusations fail to destroy the pastor, you know the strange thing? God has you show up in places that they're there. I remember one time two fellows were just talking and talking and just run. And I was in another state. I just happened to go to this one store that it was just crazy. And like, they're there. Or you just happen to see somebody on the internet that's been, hi, how you doing? I'm Joey. And they're always so nervous and speechless. Like, I didn't expect to see you here. God will do that to you. God will do that to you. When their malicious accusations fail to destroy the pastor, they invent bizarre accusations that even their most ardent supporters realize have gone too far. And given enough time, slanderers always reveal their malicious nature. In other words, their supporters begin to drop off. So they always have to come up with something exciting, something more. Are we still going good? No. We're going to turn to Psalms chapter 15, verse 1. There you go. Thank you, my brother. Boy, this is an important chapter. Listen to this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? I believe this is going to tell you who's going to get the pre-trib rapture. It's going to tell you who's going to abide in a church on earth that's a faithful church and not end up wandering away. It's going to tell you who's staying in fellowship with God and can get their prayers answered. And it's also telling you who's going to reign with the Lord in the coming millennial kingdom. Boy, this is a lot in this verse, isn't it? In this chapter. So we better find out who gets all these blessings. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Quit lying to yourself. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. You say, I'm not the one that originated. I just heard it and spread it around. God telling you how you're going to get this blessing, a fellowship, answer prayer. How you're going to abide in a church and stay in it, in a godly church. How you're going to dwell in His coming kingdom. And God, by the time He gets to verse 3, is telling you about backbiting and slandering and tell hearing. Not just tell bearing, but tell hearing. And in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. So God sums it up right here. God says, you know what? When you like wicked people and think they're cool, you're not in fellowship with me. When you like my enemies, who I'm opposed to, but the people that are doing right, you just slander them and speak evil against them. God says, nope, you're gone. No fellowship with me. You better honor those that fear the Lord. Instead of saying, well, I'm not going to speak evil against them, you better honor them. You better honor them. Lift them up in your prayers. But a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. God says, you know why you like to listen to it? Because you're wicked yourself. See, that's why you had to find these people. If you're a liar yourself, you're going to give ear to backsliders. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. You say, well, I'm not doing anything really bad. Not walking in adultery or fornication yet. I'm not doing this or doing that or doing this or doing that. God says, if you've got a rebellious mouth, this is where you're heading. This is where you're headed. You're already around the wrong people. You're already speaking things you ought not. We see how you're going to end up, man. We see how you're going to end up. And it's going to bring your father, if you have one, to sorrow. Certainly going to bring Father God. He that begetteth a fool, doeth it to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. The north wind driveth away rain, so does an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. So how do we deal with backbiters? You know, where is the time when you start getting some righteous anger? See, this, we've got too nice about a lot of things. No, if people are running their mouth, you need, at the very least, you need to look at them with an angry countenance. See. And the Bible says they'll shut up real quick. They'll shut up real quick. If people start walking around and looking at them the way they ought to. You know. And then you'll go whine and say, they don't like me over there in that church. No, they love you. You just can't expect to do whatever you want and malign people and slander and join with people's enemies and gossip and everybody's just going to be nice. That's not life, man. And the world's not going to treat you like that at all either. You just wait for your job in the workplace and whatever it might be. Come ye children, hearken unto me, says Psalms 34. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? You say, I just want to have a good time and I want to enjoy life. Okay, well here it is, says God. Keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You better not lie about anybody, especially the righteous. You want to have a good time and enjoy life? And this transports to the kingdom, obviously. Peter tells us this also, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Somebody walks around and they say, well, I'm just depressed. I'm just miserable. Nobody likes me and I don't like anybody else. Things are just not going the way I want. Well, why don't you watch your mouth? Why don't you look at your mouth? Take a look at your lips, your mouth, and see if they're open all the time. Some people walk around, it's like, bro, close your mouth. You're not even talking, but your mouth's always walking around open. See, like it's just waiting to say something bad. Guile means hypocritical deceit, lying, that type of thing. Psalms 50 says, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consenteth with him. And you've been partaker with adulterers. Told some people on the internet, like, do you know who you're partaking with? Do you know who this crowd is? Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue framest deceit. At least as a pastor speaking on the internet, do me a favor. If you've heard something about me, send me an email, give me a call, and ask me about it. If you think it's important enough for you to know, God forbid, don't just believe something you hear on the internet. And I'm sure you would appreciate the same due process, as everybody would. Partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue framest deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. You speak against your brother. You slander thy own mother's son. Sometimes there's division in household. One brother is good. One brother says, no, I'm going to go the way of the world. And the bad brother starts slandering the good brother. But we're all brothers in Christ. And sometimes carnal brothers slander spiritual brothers. God's not happy about it. David went through it a lot. He says in Psalm 64, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. It's just a rebellion, old-fashioned rebellion. Who wet their tongue, sharpen it like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. God says, why don't you fear what you're saying? Why don't you fear what you say behind people's back? Do we need to take a stand and everybody kind of stand up and stretch a little bit? Everybody awake? Y'all let me know. Raise your hand and say, you know, I need to stand up. And it's okay if you stand up. Nathan's ready to stand up. No, you're fine. He thought I was asking a different question. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. God says, I'm going to make an example of these people. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of His doing. Listen, I don't want you to be an example that I use in a sermon. Oh, I knew one fellow one time, and boy, he ran his mouth, and because I could tell you a lot of stories right now about people that were and are not. See, I could tell you people that have lost their light. The candle's been put out. God help you. I don't want you to be a testimony so others will fear. Say, I don't want to do what he did. I don't want to go the way he did. Oh, wait a minute. Break. There's an anxiety today that a lot of people have. You ever seen a baby that's nursing and you take it away from its mama for a little while and it gets anxiety? We're about the 3/4 through the sermon and maybe somebody's got anxiety, so I want to give you a picture of a cell phone. Maybe relax you a little bit. We'll just let this sit here a little bit and make you feel better. All right, so everybody just relax. We'll be done soon here. All right, Psalms 109. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Well, deliver my soul, says David in 120. O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You better watch. Somebody's going to pray against you. And if it's not the very person that you're persecuting, one of his buddies is going to pray against you. And it's not going to go good. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? God says, I'll knock your teeth out. I'll smite you on the cheekbone. Here he says, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. That doesn't sound good to me. Proverbs says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Go ahead and rage, because soon you won't be. Psalm 31, for I have heard the slander of many. David says, man, I've lived my life. Everybody's slandering me. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. I want you to notice that the Holy Ghost connects pride with slander and lying, rebellious lips. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now listen to me. This is just a prophecy of the end times. God is telling you that when the rapture happens, the pre-trib rapture from the tribulation period, there is going to be strife of tongues everywhere. Hey, if you're a righteous Christian today, they're going to mark you as an evil person. If you're a Trump supporter, they mark you as an evil person. What about if you go further and you're a Christian and you stand for holiness? You say you ought not be a sodomite, you ought not be homosexual, you ought not vaccinate. I mean, think of the things they'll hate you for today. Well, there's going to be a strife of tongues everywhere you look. And everybody's going to be gathered around, they're evil, they're evil, they're evil, they're evil. And then poop, all of a sudden, they're going to be caught up secretly in a pavilion of the second coming, hidden from men. The Antichrist will know they're there, and he's going to blaspheme them. Which side are you going to be? Are you the side that has all this strife of accusation? Well, you'll be left behind with your buddies. You'll be left behind with your buddies. So we're going to ask this, what spirit are you of, brother? Are you of the Holy Spirit? Or are you of a wicked spirit of Satan and Antichrist? What spirit are you of? Who do you hang around? Who do you talk to on Facebook, Instagram? Who do you talk to? Revelation says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Frogs are unclean. They still are in the book of Revelation. Out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and they all have unclean devils coming out of their mouth. See, sometimes people go around talking and you know that they are in touch with devils. See, to whatever degree the devils are controlling their tongue. So you need to analyze yourself and see what spirit you are of. Revelation 13, and the Antichrist opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. You listen to music and movies that blaspheme Jesus, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Oh, I tell you, the Antichrist's not happy that some got away. So, just if you're already blaspheming the righteous, if you're already slandering them, you're not in good company. Because that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. And you're of that spirit right now. You're of the Antichrist spirit. You say, don't you believe a church can ever do wrong? A pastor can do wrong? Yeah, but you better give them due process. You better give them due process. Same process that you would want. They said the Lord was a drunkard. Was he a drunkard? No. Because he sat down and had a Bible study with people that were sinners? Was he a drunkard? No. They said he was born in sin. They didn't understand the virgin birth. It sure looked like he was born in sin, didn't it? Well, your mama sure had you before they came together. So what happened here? What, I meant got pregnant before you came together? How could this be? See, when you think you're so sure somebody's in sin, the Bible said he that is first in his cause seems to be just. You say, well, they're guilty, man. There's just no way he's getting out of this. Then all of a sudden, the other side gets up and presents its case. You say, wow, okay, now I'm not so sure. See, you better be slow to judge things and have righteous judgment. They said John the Baptist had a devil. He hung out in the wilderness, ate honey, locusts. He must have a devil. And the Lord said, isn't that something? I'm in the city preaching. You say, I have a devil. John the Baptist is out in the woods in the wilderness, and everybody has to go out to him to hear his preaching, and you say he has a devil. You're inconsistent, says the Lord. You're not making any sense. I just want you to analyze what spirit you're of, man. Who do you like? Who do you like to hang out with? Who do you like to talk to? How often do they blaspheme and rebel and slander and gossip and make false accusations? Isaiah says, draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make wide a mouth? Make ye wide a mouth and draw out the tongue. Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? When thou criest, let thy company deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. If you want peace, you better not be. You say, what does it mean here, sons of the sorcerer, seed of the adulterer and the whore? I believe one thing it means is the spirit that you're of. There's a false church today. God calls it a whore. See, there's an adulterous spirit in the land, a wicked antichrist spirit. And you... there are some people, because you like that, because you're with those people, you can be considered their child. You can be considered a child of the whore, see. And you sport yourselves. You open your mouth wide against. And God says, well, you're going to be crying, and all those people aren't going to help you very much. See. Job's friends that spoke against him, they had to go to Job and get prayed for. Because these people aren't going to help you. They're not going to be able to. People say, I don't have any peace. Well, you're not going to have any peace. The more you speak slander and wickedness and hang out with rebels, you'll never have peace. Psalms 144, send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. There's those children again. Children of the false church, the wicked church, the whore church. Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Isn't that an interesting prayer? God, rid me from these people that run their mouth and make false accusations and are worldly. Because, see, we want the righteous children not to end up ungodly. Do you see that? It's very easy. It's very easy to go so far with this thing that it's not just a bad habit. You're old enough to where you're sending people to hell, man. This isn't just some playground gossip or tattletaling. You're causing people to backslide. You're causing children to go bad. This is serious, serious stuff. Maybe, just maybe, somebody listening to this will say, you know what, I want to respond to the Word. I don't want God's rod. What do I do? Well, first of all, you say you're sorry to those you've ran your mouth against. You tell God you're sorry. And then you start taking some practical steps to show that your repentance is sincere. One of them is Proverbs 4. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Not only your own, but somebody comes up and they start talking trash and start talking that perverseness and rebellion. And you say, you know, you're making me dislike my pastor. You're making me dislike my church. In fact, you're making me dislike the second coming of the Lord. You're making me dislike holiness and standard. You're a bad influence for me. So unless you change and repent with me, we're just not going to hang out as much. I'll pray with you, pray for you, I mean. I'll love you, but I'm not going to fellowship with you. Because you got a big mouth. You got a rebellious mouth. And the Bible says, put it far from thee. There's some music you need to put far from you. There's some movies and wickedness and people that you got to get far from. And then you begin to grow. And then all of a sudden you're happy. You start having peace. You start having the joy of the Lord. You start growing and prospering in the Lord. And you start getting a testimony. Oh no, he's doing good. Yeah, what a blessing. He's doing good. Oh man, he's growing and he's helping a lot of stuff. And you'll start involving yourself in the Lord's work and building up and fighting God's battle and being valiant for the truth. Isn't that a blessing, brother? Proverbs 14, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. That's foolish talking, man. I don't want to be around you. Well, Proverbs 10 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. If somebody speaks with rebellious speech, it's because they're wicked. It's because they're wicked, says the Bible. You might not like that, but if you've got a rebellious mouth, you're wicked, says God. And you need to stay away from people that are wicked. Try to call them to repentance. Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way, you're to hate these things. And the froward mouth do I hate. Do you fear God? If you fear God, then you got to hate these things. Somebody comes up speaking in their arrogance, their presumption, their false accusation, and their froward, rebellious mouth, you ought to hate it. You ought to say, you know what? I hate your mouth. I hate it. I want you to get right, but I hate your mouth, man. Ephesians says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That means building up people in the Lord, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, I'm going to show you that pride perverts your mouth. We've already seen that. Proverbs 6 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look. Just the look of your face. The fashion. The way you walk. The way you act. Maybe the way you do your hair, your eyes. I don't know, but you just got a proud look on your face. A lying tongue. Do they not go together? Do they not go together? They do. And hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet to be swift in running to mischief. You just can't wait to go run to mischief. Just can't wait to tell somebody some news about some righteous person that's trying to do his best to stand for God in the midst of a perverse generation. Let me talk to some young people right now for a second. You watch who you identify with, what fashion, what people. You watch these worldly idols and who you want to emulate and be like, because you're going to pick up a sodomite spirit, an arrogant, rebellious spirit, and it's going to lead to your mouth opening wide with all kinds of slander and things. So let's speak to some young people right now in Lamentations 3 before we close. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You say, well, I'm just bored around here. Well, you get your attitude right, you won't be so bored. You start enjoying soul winning, enjoying speaking to these little children and basically helping them grow in righteousness and godliness. You start going and saying, hey, can I help you with something? And help find somebody that's doing something good and say, can I help you? You get involved in the things of God. You start asking questions and saying, what about this? What about that? And you start growing and getting hungry for the Word of God. You won't be so bored anymore. But in one sense, when everybody's chasing the world and racing to destruction, it can seem like a burden upon you. It's good for you to shut up as a young person and be patient. You know that? It's good to bear the yoke in your youth. So you learn discipline. You learn patience. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. It means you humble yourself. You take that big mouth that's open all the time and get flat on your face in the dirt and get some humility. In the 1800s, about 13, after hearing the Ten Commandments, they'd get out in the woods and put their face in the dirt and cry out to God, say, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner." Have you had that happen yet? Do you have any conviction whatsoever for the things you've done with the light that you had? God says, as a young person, learn to hush up, bear discipline, bear your yoke, let God have His way with you, let your parents and your pastor teach you something decent so you can be something in life for God, and learn to shut your mouth and humble yourself. Then there might be some hope for you, son. There might be some hope that you'll end up a happy person, blessed by God. But Psalms 59 says, "Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear?" Well, Solomon says a little bird will come tell whoever it is, whatever authority you're running your mouth about, God will make sure they hear. It's an amazing thing what I hear as a pastor. It's an amazing thing. A lot of times people say to you, not all the time, not all the time. But a lot of times people say, "Do you know so-and-so, so-and-so?" Well, yeah, I found out about a month ago. "For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their" what? "Pride. And for the cursing and lying which they speak." I'm just trying to show you that proud look, that pride, that lack of humility. That's where that evil speaking comes from. No fear of God, no fear to slander God's people. It's not good, folks. Korah, we've seen before, rebelled against Moses. The Bible says in the book of Jude that in the last days they'll walk in the gainsaying of Korah. So you're just a fulfillment of prophecy, if this is you. It's in the book of Jude, there'll be murmurers and complainers, and they will walk in this gainsaying, this rebellious speech of Korah, where they say, "You know what? I shouldn't have to follow anybody. I'm going to rebel against authority." A couple of verses here to close. Proverbs 21, please listen. "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." What I'm giving you today is gold, because it's from the Word of God. I'm telling you how to be happy, how to enjoy life. Abel chose one path. He was a happy man. He was murdered by his jealous brother. And God told Cain, before he ended up a murderer, "If you want to be happy, if you'd like your countenance lifted, if you'd like a smile on your face, then how about obey me? How about do what's right?" And God's telling you here, if you watch your mouth, it's going to have it's the key, one of the major keys to how you feel in your emotions. A man or a woman calls up and talks about their spouse, and they go on for 30 minutes about all the bad things and all the negative things they don't like. No wonder you're full of emotions that are against your husband or your wife. You get around people that are speaking evil of your church or evil of your pastor, evil of good men, evil of your parent. No wonder you hate them in your heart, because number one, you're dishonest listening to things you shouldn't be listening. And number two, you got to learn to keep your ears and keep your mouth. "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." Boy, that's the truth. Back in the 70s, they would have Christian books, and it was normal for a boy to spout off. And it would teach the mama how to slap him. That was normal Christian literature. It even shows pictures. It says, "Do your hand just like this, popping just like that." Listen, I'm not justifying everything in the 70s in Christian literature. That was mainstream. Mamas, here's what you do. When they get teenagers, they'll start thinking they're smart and they're going to be disrespectful to you as a mama. Here's how you slap them. That was normal Christian literature. C.S. Lovett, I think it was. C.S. Lovett. You say, I'm not going to go that far. Can you do something? Can you do something to shut down the rebel before he gets out of control? Can you do something to save the soul of these children from hell? Do something. Because a fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. He's gone. He's not in church no more. And he's got a big mouth against his boss. See, at 50, he'll end up back in your house. Not in a good way. My back hurts. I just can't take it anymore. I've got emotional problems. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Well, they wound you and they wound whoever you're speaking against. You say, what have I ever done to anybody? You've run your mouth and hurt people. See, you've wounded people. And listen, look, listen, this is the absolute truth. I'm not saying I'm some super person. I'm just telling you, I got a thick hide. I couldn't have been here all the time that I've been here, preaching what I'm preaching, standing for the things I stand for. I had to determine at the very beginning. You know, as a young pastor, I told you about going into a school and teaching a youth group, and next thing you know, somebody's screaming out and hollering, make him stop, he's persecuting me. Dude, for my second and third sermon, it's been like that my whole life. So, I can deal with it. I don't mean I like it. I don't mean that I don't feel any pain. But I got a thick hide, see. What I'm more interested in, and this is the honest truth, is what it does to you. See, I'm not as interested in the wound that you do to me, though that's important. Because you start hurting my children, hurting my testimony, hurting my church, I am interested in that. But truthfully, I'm interested in the wounds you bring to yourself and to others. See, by your mouth. That's why Paul wanted Alexander the Coppersmith's mouth stopped. He's hurting people. He's hurting the truth. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. When are you going to learn? If you want to be happy in the Lord, watch your mouth. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, his kingdom life, his fellowship now. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You're going downhill, bro. You're going downhill. Get ready for the ride. Psalm 63, the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The Bible says iniquity stoppeth her mouth. God will shut it. Don't worry. You'll go and you'll run your mouth and then you'll just be another sad testimony of what happens to people that run their mouth. You will be stopped. But why? Why? What for? I just don't understand it. Just yield to God. You say, I don't understand some of the things you preach or why it matters. Come and talk to me. Talk to one of these wise, mature Christians. Say, why does this matter? It's not wrong to bring objections. It's not wrong to feed and try to reason. It's wrong to just join with a bad crowd because you want to be a rebel. I end with one verse that talks about some young ladies. They're marrying age. In the context, I think they were widows, but young. And the Bible says, withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Now, what happens if you're not going about the Lord's business? What happens if you're not taking care of your home, taking care of your husband, taking care of your... This isn't saying that it's wrong for everybody to be single. But what it's saying is, if you're single, then you need to spend extra time helping your father, helping your church, helping the Lord's work in a special way until God gives you a husband, if that's the case. But hey, don't just apply it to women. There's some idle fellas. You understand? You come home from work or do whatever you're doing, or maybe you don't even have any work, and you just wander about house to house. And they're bad folks you're hanging out with. Bad folks you're calling. Bad folks you're on social media with. And not only idle, but tattlers also. And busybodies. Speaking things which they all, things you know nothing about. Just tattling, busybody stuff. You know nothing about these things. You speak as a fool. I hope this helped. I've done what I could do. But here's what you could do. You can pray for this message. You can pray that the Holy Ghost will use it. Okay? And you can look at yourself and say, you know what, God, guard my mouth. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn. If you'd like to get on your knees, you go ahead. If not, just sit in your pew. But we're going to have a little time of prayer right here, okay? We're going to pray the Lord will eradicate this and that we'll all be trustworthy and walk in the Lord together, okay? Let's bow our heads, our knee, if you will. It's up to you. There's not much room, but I'm going to pray, and then just a couple of men, if you feel the Spirit of the Lord's come on you, you just shout out to the Lord a prayer. Pray for these young people, that they learn early. Dear Holy Father, I pray for this church. I pray for those that have left it, God, and have opened their mouth against you and what we're teaching and the things that we stand for, their false accusations. Lord, I pray that you please bring them to conviction. Turn them into just godly soldiers for you and your cause, Lord. Please, Father, help them. Help them find the truth, Lord, before it's too late. And God, I know there's some that just have to have their mouth stopped, Lord, before many are turned into hell. But Lord, I pray for every young person in this church. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the Spirit that's here. Thank you for the sweetness of these young people, their loyalty. But God, I pray you protect them, put a hedge about them, wherever there's sin in any of them, Lord, and in any of us. Please, Father, help them not to listen to evil. Help them to stand up for the righteous and be loyal and godly. Protect them, Father. Please, let them not have to hear your rod, Lord. Please, Father, let them find joy in you by being good. And let this be a new day for them, God. When they just become a new person in you, you're able to do it. And I believe you can, Lord, in Jesus' name. Anybody with the Spirit of God.
Lord God, we thank you for this message. I pray, Lord, you'd use it greatly. Lord, I pray you'd stand against the wiles of the devil, Lord, and any demonic influence that would come upon any, Lord, and move to slander and to be out of order and unseemly, Lord. Any guile, Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that you just blow it away, Lord.
Yes. 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 Any other brother?
Father, I pray, Lord, that you please have mercy on us with the times that we have slandered and spoken ill of somebody falsely, Lord. I just pray for your mercy upon us.
Thank you, God.
We fall into those temptations often, Lord.
Yes.
You know, we say things without thinking a lot of times, and we don't lose wisdom and discernment, Father. So I pray that you help us, Lord, to grow in those areas, that we never speak such evil or guile behind anybody's back, that we always be upfront and honest, Lord, before you and before your people, and honest with each other also, Lord,
yes,
with
Lord.
Ourselves.
Yes.
That we look at ourselves humbly, Lord, and realize that we are no better, Lord.
Yes.
Of all the same things. So, Lord, there are those who are workers of iniquity, Lord, that do rise up against your people and your church, Father. So I pray you lift the standard up against all those
yes.
who oppose your people, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that you shut their mouth for, that you would break their teeth.
That's right.
That they would not be able to succeed in any way, Lord, because we serve you, a living God who is all-powerful and omniscient and omnipotent, Lord, and we know that nothing they will do will prosper, Lord, because all things turn out for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. In Christ's name we pray.
Yes, indeed.
Dear God, I want to thank you for your mercy in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I want to pray, Lord, that you forgive me and forgive us all.
Help us.
And thank you, Lord, for not just forgiving us once, twice, but so many times.
God. Yes, God.
And I want to thank you, Lord, for the words preached today of your holy book and the Creator, God Almighty. Your words that you freely give us, thank you, Father. Please help me, the people here, my brothers and sisters, the children,
yes,
consider your words, to lay them to our hearts and not to let them just fall to the ground. You have no profit to us, but to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anything else that needs to be prayed, now's the time. Well, a couple of you sisters come as we